Playing Through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast, fresh off the Honda Classic victory of Justin Thomas. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran on the Morning Show on Twitter at Froggy Radio and Instagram. You can get my boy Brian Wacker, writer extraordinaire, senior writer for Golf Digest at Brian Wacker 1 on Twitter.
You can just go with writer. I mean, senior makes me sound old.
Yeah. Yeah, but senior also gives you, like, you know what?
I don't even think that's actually in my deal.
Yeah, you're one of the top dudes.
I think I'm just a writer.
You're one of the top dudes at Golf Digest. I read Golf Digest. You're one of my favorite writers. It might be that I know you and I do a podcast with you, but still. And we're here with a serious, amazing social media influencer at Brian Golf, at BRYAN Brian Golf. On Instagram, a very good follow if you like golf. And if you like golf, I guess you'd probably be here listening to us. That's why you like golf. So
thank you.
Yeah.
You need to get rid of the one. Why is there a one? Brian Wacker.
Somebody had Brian Wacker.
You know.
Have you tracked that guy down?
Have you DM'd him? Have you PM'd him? Have you done anything to try and get Brian Wacker?
Yeah, I mean, you offer him like a bag of Skittles and $3 and see if he'll give you the name. I mean, I'll buy you the Skittles at this point.
Well, now the one is already in there. It's been there a while. We got to, you know,
branded.
Roll with it.
And he's verified. He's verified. So
if you trademarked anything, you wouldn't trademark Brian Wacker. You would trademark Brian Wacker 1.
Right.
Exactly. That is your brand.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
All right,
yeah,
so here we go.
I need to hire this guy.
Honda Classic in the books. Justin Thomas with the win in the playoff over Luke List, a guy that probably a lot of people didn't know up until this week. Luke List played very well. Alex Noren played well. But I think the big story of the week, and it's unfortunate. It's really not unfortunate. Listen, I'm tired of saying it's unfortunate. I'm tired of feeling bad for people. Let's be honest. Is the real story of the week Justin Thomas? Or is the real story of the week that Tiger Woods not only made the cut that all three of us were wrong about last week in saying he would struggle to make the cut? He didn't. He made the cut. He was arguably in contention. What's the biggest story of the week? Let me ask you, a guy that writes for Golf Digest.
Tiger. Tiger's always the biggest story of the week, no matter what. Look, you could watch on Sunday when Tiger was coming through and when Justin, playing in the last group of the day, was coming through, and they had a moment where they crossed paths early in the round, and you saw which way the gallery went if you were there, and
right.
It was with Tiger Woods.
Absolutely. That.
Yeah, there you go. Brian Golf has a picture of the difference before and after. And,
when the leaders are coming through. I mean,
oh my goodness.
That's 13T.
That visual would be great if we were on television, by the way.
Right. Which, by the way, you'll have to post that when we post this podcast this Saturday.
It's already posted.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
Go to Brian Golf.
At BRYAN Brian Golf on Instagram. And look, I mean, the disparity. The difference is unbelievable.
And even Justin took note of that, by the way, which how could you not? I mean,
I took my wife on Saturday. I took my wife to the tournament. And my wife knows that I'm a huge Tiger Woods fan. That's not a secret. And anybody that lives with me, it's the reason I play golf. It's the reason I watch golf. It's why I love golf, all that stuff. However, until you really see it firsthand, until you witness two holes ahead is already busy when there's two no guys playing. Why? People just trying to get a front row seat to watch him hit a drive. When you see around the greens, we got to three green on Saturday. He had hit it up to about 8 or 10 feet. We get up there. Lisa, my wife, says, let's go up and watch him putt. I'm like, you're not going to be able to see anything. We got up there, and even though there was the ground was higher the further back you got, so you had maybe a little bit of a vantage point, we could not see the green. The crowds are unbelievable. Then we went over and went backwards and watched Justin Thomas tee off. Yeah, there was a crowd, but it's nothing like Tiger Woods. And so when people say, why is all anybody ever talks about Tiger Woods? But for example, why does Brian Wacker always write articles about Tiger Woods when he's playing? Why does ESPN only put Tiger Woods on TV? Why is the Golf Channel? Why is PGA Tour Live that I pay for? Why is it Tiger Woods? You want to know why? Because that's where 80% of the crowd was at the golf course this weekend.
Look, I get the emails all the time, or the tweets, Instagram messages. Why are you writing about Tiger Woods? There's 143 other guys in the field or whatever the number is. Look. But the Tiger Woods stories are always the most clicked on stories on the Golf Digest website.
Right.
So
right.
What does that tell you?
I saw you on Saturday. You were walking inside the ropes with him. The crowds were unbelievable. And if you looked on another hole, I mean, there's a couple people. There's some lines, but it's nothing like what you see with him. The guy is, and we're going to talk to Holly Saunders later on this week. And I know Holly has said before, quote, he doesn't move the needle. He is the needle. He is the game of golf, and I know that people just don't like it, but it's the reality. It's the way it is, and it was great to see him play well I just wish he didn't have to play the bear trap this week because the bear trap didn't go well.
No. No. If the course was 15 holes long, he would have won the tournament.
Right.
I mean, if he played the bear trap in even par for the week, there wasn't a playoff, Tiger's your winner.
Right.
Now, eight.
Yeah. No, look, he would have won by, I think it would have been one or two.
He'd have won by one or two.
But, look, and it's easy enough to say, sure, you can take that out. I mean, you can say that for a lot of guys who struggled on 15, 16, and 17.
I bet you Rory on Sunday wishes he didn't have to play the bear trap, but that on 17.
Exactly. So it's simple to take it out of the equation. But the fact that we saw Tiger, hitting, look, I think he's still got some driver issues to work out, but his three woods off the tee were unbelievable. His iron play off the tee was very good. His distance control with his irons was spot on.
Even in the wind, downwind, he was good.
Look, in the wind, the distance control, the short game, I mean, this was flashes of, I don't want to say the old Tiger, because look, let's face it, no matter what, we're not going to see the guy who dominated the sport from the late 90s to the mid-2000s. Nor should anybody expect that. Look, he's 42 years old.
But will
place.
We see flashes of that?
But we will see, and we have seen, quite frankly, some flashes of that. And he is, I wrote this in my story on Sunday night from the Honda Classic on golfdigest.com, that this, to me, is progressing nicely. This, hitting the ball pin high, controlling his distances, his trage, as he called it.
Right.
His putts.
His glutes are firing. They look good.
The fact that he's talking and using trage again tells me that he's back when he's referring to those things. And even his own expectations, which he has really done a nice job of tempering to this point.
Yesterday, he let him be heard.
His own expectations are ramping up. I think this is a guy who, when he shows up at Augusta National, will expect to win the golf tournament.
Well, let me ask you this. When will we see him again? I know that right now he is not committed to anything. He's not committed to another tournament. But we know he's going to play.
He made allusions to that as well. He said,
will we see Valspar?
I need to play tournament golf between now and Augusta, because he was asked that very specifically, that question, do you need more tournaments between now and Augusta, and is that something that you will pursue? And it is. So I would think certainly Bay Hill seems logical.
Oh, for sure.
He's won 8 times.
Right.
I know there's been talk about Valspar as well. He's not in either the two WGC
But he
events.
Said yesterday was something I was shocked. He said, I hoped to get into Mexico. Yeah. I don't even think with a win yesterday he would have gotten into Mexico.
No, he would not.
But it doesn't matter. The simple fact that he wants to get into these tournaments, he thinks he's close.
He's into it.
To hear him say how well he's hitting the ball, the way he's controlling shots. On Friday when I was at the Honda, he said two bad swings cost him 3 shots.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bad swing on 16. It was the bad swing on 15 that he chunked and it went in the water. It's two bad swings. I think to look at him, the smile on his face, the competitive nature that you're seeing, I think he thinks he's getting close. When he sees the stats that he led the field in proximity to the hole, that's not a bullshit stat. That's not some like BS. You just pull that up to look good. Proximity to the hole is huge. That means
tells you he's controlling his iron.
He's hitting the ball onto the green, not 60 feet from the hole. He's hitting it close to the hole. He led that by almost 3 feet from the next person. In driving distance, he was second in driving distance. I know he didn't pull out a lot of drivers, but those are tee shots. That means when he hit irons, he's still hitting them far. That means when he's hitting his 3-wood, I saw a 3-wood on Friday. I saw a 2-iron on Friday that went 297.
Yep.
I don't care if it's downwind. A 297, a 2-iron is long. And then he hit a drive on Friday, 361 into the fairway. This is different than all the other comebacks.
We see that when you're comparing him to his play, the peers, the competition, his swing speed's up there. You keep hearing about him talking about it on Golf Channel. And we'll talk to Brandel Chambly all about that. And he obviously has great things to say about how Tiger has progressed, surprisingly to him, at least surprised him. But like on number, what was the hole where the goose got hit? Tiger hit 3-wood there. And I saw every other player hitting driver where Tiger was hitting 3-wood.
Right. He's
that
got speed.
That says all that there needs to be said really about his distance. It really comes down to his short game and hitting his irons, like you say, keeping him pin high. He has lived his entire career pin high. So if he does that.
But why does he hit driver? Maybe, Wacker, you can answer this because you've been around Tiger Woods from go. You've been around when it was great. You were there through the downfall. You were there in 13, and you're there now. I know, and I know you've talked to Joey. I know that you know a lot of these guys. I know you know Hank. I know the fact of what concerns me as a fan, and that, and I come at you completely as a fan on this question. Why does he need driver if he can hit a three wood 297 yards? Or no, excuse me, he can hit his three wood over three bills. If he can hit his three wood that far and it's that consistent, why does he need a driver?
Well, sure. Look, I mean, certain holes you're going to need driver to, because one of the great advantages he had through the bulk of his career was length. And quite frankly, a lot of us, I think, that was one of the concerns. Look, can a 42-year-old Tiger Woods with a fused back still hit the ball far enough in today's game to compete? And he's proven that he can. And to your point about the driver,
I mean, how much longer is his driver than his three wood?
Look, some holes, you know, long par fives. These guys are playing long par fives, long par fours, 75, 76, 7,700-yard courses. You're going to need the driver in certain places. Now, Augusta National, that's a place where you can hit driver. Not necessarily, doesn't have to be perfectly straight. You just have to leave yourself in the right spot, and then obviously have to leave yourself in the right spot with your irons into the green. So
how many drivers will he have to hit at Augusta? Will he have to hit it on every?
You hit a lot because there's not a lot of trouble long. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, you don't have to lay. There's no forced layups at Augusta.
So you can blow it right and still have a shot in.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, like on some of the holes. Number eight was the hole with the goose. If he hit driver, he would hit it into the water.
Right.
So
right.
you've got to lay back. You know, right. think there's none of that at Augusta. It's full send. The whole thing is obviously you just gonna hit it straight. I think Tiger with his driver is just. There's a lot going on in his golf swing. If you look at his golf swing compared to other golf swings, there's always been a lot going on. Justin Thomas, he misses the ball off the planet sometimes. I mean,
right.
he's got this massive hook in his game. It's because it's violent.
There's a lot of speed
going
there.
On.
I mean, the more speed, the wider the range of misses. I mean,
right.
you know, when you and I, or not you, but when I swing it, I don't swing that fast. So my misses are not that wide. These guys, you're talking, we saw the swing speed of 128.4 on Saturday. If you don't hit that right or that face is open, I remember one time, a long time ago, we talked to Sean Foley. And Sean Foley was telling us, he said the difference when the degree of the face open versus the path, when you get within like 3 degrees out at that speed at that many yards, you're talking 50, 60 yards offline, mm-hmm. and that's where we're seeing some of these misses.
Well, and with Tiger, we're talking about a guy who's still tinkering a little bit with his driver, trying to find one that he really likes. He's made some shaft changes, some loft adjustments, and some other things. So I think he's still trying to settle into it there. But look, I think everything we're seeing from Tiger is, quite frankly, this is ahead of schedule.
He played four rounds at Torrey Pines. That's four. He played two rounds at the Genesis. That's six. And he played four rounds. We're 10 rounds in, and now we're all sitting here talking about he could win again, where that wasn't that long ago. We didn't think he'd play golf again, let alone win. I remember talking to you, and it's on a podcast. You said right now he's just an average tour player. This weekend he didn't look like an average tour player. The three of us, and I have no trouble admitting it, all three of us didn't think he'd make the cut at PGA National.
Oh, right.
It's a tough golf course. There's a lot of water. We knew the wind was going to be blowing. He didn't miss it in the right spots. He said it himself when he left Genesis. So the fact that he's doing this, to me, he made a huge step between Genesis and Honda and PGA National. And you're talking, what did he take, 3 days off?
Well, and now what I want to see is the consistency. So you mentioned that, you know, look, Torrey Pines, a bit all over the place, had to grind to make the cut. L.A., a little bit messy there at a course he hasn't had a ton of success at. Now Honda, a place he's kind of had a little bit of success before at. I want to see what he does in his next start. And then his next start.
Oh, I agree.
His next start.
Because, I agree.
Because before we get too far down the line, I mean, that's to look at it, you can't really look at it in the vacuum of just 1 week is my point.
But this is the first fully consistent week we had.
4 days. Yeah, this was the first 4 days.
And he shot an under par round, which we haven't seen around in the 60s in 917 days. We saw that this week. We're seeing some things we haven't seen. And even when he has the blow-up hole, his blow-up hole is a double, let's be honest. A double's a blow-up hole. When he has his double, he came back, if you remember, on
17.
On 17.
Birdie.
Makes birdie. he's not mailing it in. He's not seeing the blow-up hole and saying, forget this, I'm done. He's grinding away and still trying to play well. And that, I think, is a different Tiger Woods, and that's why this comeback to me is different than anyone we've seen before.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if he plays in Valspar. I kind of hope he doesn't. I want to see the next time he plays at Bay Hill.
Me too.
One, because of his success there, and two, I just maybe, you know, Wacker, you're pretty familiar with it as well. If he plays the same way, maybe no improvements whatsoever, the same compared to, you know, this week at PGA,
yeah,
and then going to Bay Hill, I think he's right there again. He's right there again. Now, Wacker, you don't think he was in contention this week, where Froggy and I are like, no, that was in contention, especially through 8 holes yesterday. He was 4 shots back, 3 shots back.
Like, it got to three of the lead on.
That's
on
in contention.
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody in the top 10 that's within a couple shots is in contention. If he gets hot, think if he doesn't have the double and the bogey on 16 and 17. If he doesn't have those 2 shots, that's 3 more shots. He's 3 under. Yes, I know the playoff ended up being 7. But his name's still on that board. Sure. When you look up, you see that name on the board, and that does have an effect.
Well, and that would be the fascinating thing to me, because this generation of players has not seen or experienced what Tiger's generation did for so long. And look, most of those guys will openly admit they'd see his name and just crumble.
Adam Scott told you that.
Yeah. And so what's it going to be like, you know, look, Tiger went out a lot earlier than the leaders on Sunday, or a bit earlier than
out an hour earlier.
Yeah. So, you know, look, he got to within 3 as he got to 4 when he made the birdie on 14. So he's sort of in the mix, but you still have a long way to go for those last groups coming in. I want to see what happens when Justin Thomas is trying to close out a tournament.
Right.
And Tiger Woods is breathing down his neck.
Right, or he's posted a low number, and you've got to post a low number. Or you're in that same group with him, and you got to match him shot for shot.
Or you've got to chase down Tiger after 54 holes. If Tiger gets to a point where he's got a lead after 54 holes, what's that going to be like for everybody else?
Agree.
And we've been talking about this. You've got to put up with Tiger crowds, and they are different. That is what these players definitely have no idea about until right now.
And
no.
Quite frankly, these crowds so far, this is nothing like what it was in the heyday.
Right.
But I think you're going to see a different now. Yes. I think this performance this weekend will drive a little more.
The more of this we see from Tiger, certainly the more buzz there's going to be, more attention, more crowds. It'll be 20, 30 deep.
Right, and I totally agree with you, and I do think that we are going to start seeing more and more as this. I think a lot of people are reluctant to put stock in this yet to see if the consistency is going to be there. But what's different about this comeback, and there's a lot of things, is there's a lot of believers here. You're talking, we're going to talk to Brandel Chamblee later this week. Brandel Chamblee was completely against Tiger. Even when Tiger was winning 5 times in 2013, he was saying it was the worst golf swing ever.
Yeah.
Brandel Chamblee is driving the hype bus now. He is full steam ahead, says it's the best Tiger we've seen since 2001. I saw that on the Golf Channel on, I think it was Saturday.
Saturday night. He said this might be the best rendition of Tiger Woods since 2001. With 2001 was when he put the cap on the Tiger Slam.
Right. So you have all that going. But what I do want to do, and once again, this is a Honda Classic recap, so I do want to talk about some other things that happened there as well, but I do want to ask 2 things to you, Brian Golf. Are you sticking by he wins the Augusta, the Masters? You're sticking by that?
Yep. I think his odds are just as good as anybody else's, so I'm not going to, you know, go back on that.
Okay. And how many more majors do you think Tiger Woods wins?
Oh, we're going to do that.
Oh, here we go.
We're going to do that already?
I want to ask you
before
that.
Before we get to JT, I think he's – I've always said, and maybe it's a little bit of me being a fan and everything, but 18. He's going to get to 18. So he's got to win 4 more.
I know Augusta always plays into his hands. I get it.
So he might be able to collect a couple green jackets between now and then.
Okay. I'll give you one. I'll give you one. So let's say he gets one. I think the other one that maybe plays in his favor sometimes is if they go to a good venue on the round when they play the British. Okay. Maybe he gets one there. To me, and would you agree with this, Wacker? I think if that guy wins 2 more majors, that it's one of the greatest stories in golf after where we just were
what?
6 months ago.
One major, and it's the greatest story.
One.
I mean, one.
Right, I'll agree with you. That's what I'm saying.
So if he was done.
Yeah, so if he gets 2, I mean, that's earth shattering.
Yeah, no difference to me, one or two. I agree. I think if he wins a major again and gets climbs back to that mountaintop,
I think
it'll
be
the most compelling stories in the history of sports, not just golf. Sports.
Right. I think that major, aside from the one that he won on Father's Day, after his father had passed away, I think that major would be
2006 British Open
would be the sweetest. Yeah. The next one, number 15, I believe will go down as the sweetest one. Because there was probably – well, hold on. I'll use his own words. Everything else from here on out is gravy.
Yep.
He said that.
Oh, yeah.
He said any other tournament he wins is just gravy. The guy didn't even know he'd play golf again.
At one point, says he couldn't get out of bed.
He couldn't go to a restaurant. Yeah, sit down.
I mean, just literally couldn't get out of bed. That tells you all you need to know. Kind of hard to go from there – to winning a major championship.
Right, but now we're at least discussing winning a major championship again. So definitely want to recap.
Four majors.
Yeah.
Four more.
Okay.
Hey, we said it earlier when we were off the air. My whole thing is if Tom Watson, at what age, Swacker? 58?
I think it's 59 maybe.
59, okay. At Turnberry, I believe. He almost won. And the eventual winner was Stuart Sink.
Right, I agree.
If they can do it, then if Tiger Woods can do what he just did this past. I'm just... Obviously, if something changes physically, then something changes physically, and I'm way off.
Right.
But I'm just saying if we progress and, you know, the guy is, oh, man, his swing speed goes down to 120, he's still going to compete.
Right. So here's where the odds play
in. By the way, Tom Watson didn't win that major, just pointing that out.
But Stuart Sink did.
He did.
I'm not going to, you know, Stuart Sink, hey, look, golf is golf. Whoever plays best that week wins. It's simple as that, and that's how it'll always be. There's places where obviously Tiger's had a lot of history. You know, when an Open goes to a course that fits his eye, and St. Andrews obviously is
right.
It's kind of an easy. It can be easy. You know, it depends on the draw and the wind and the conditions. Right. You never know. And then next year the PGA Championship at Bethpage Black. Why can't he win at Bethpage again? He hits the ball long enough.
Or you can take a place certainly like Augusta, like we've mentioned, a place where you see Fred Couples. Often in contention there.
Right.
Larry Mize.
In contention there. So we've even seen Larry Mize in contention.
He just keeps making the cut.
Like, does
Larry,
he play
why
till
does Larry 40? Mize keep making the fucking cut at Augusta?
Let me ask you this. Does Tiger play until he's 40 years old?
What?
Sorry?
Does he play until he's 50 years old? Excuse me. Does he play until he's 50?
Boy.
If he does, that's 32 more chances.
Maybe.
That's 32 maybe. More chances. If he plays till he's 50. So... he would need to win 4 out of 32. I'm no math whiz. That's why I work on the radio.
Pretty good though. That's pretty good.
I don't know what his current odds are. And if you extrapolated the odds out of where he's played recently, so he hasn't won a major since 2008. But early on, I don't know what his percentage was of winning majors. He's not going to win at that clip. But obviously, it sounds like he could win 4 out of 32.
Look. There's only a few players who've won major championships age 42 or older. That includes, of course, includes Jack Nicklaus, 46, winning the Masters 6 years in 86 after he had won his last major in 1980. So it has been 13 years now this year that since Tiger won the Masters, 2005.
Right.
They've made some changes to the course. They've certainly made it more difficult for Tiger.
Right.
He has progressed faster than I think anybody expected.
But in 2013, he could have won it. If that ball doesn't clank off the flagstick, go in the water, then the drop the next morning after they said that he illegally dropped.
We can talk about ifs all day. But the point is...
he'd have been there.
But the point is, it's a very low percentage of golfers who have won. It's around 6% who have won major championships in their 40s. So, and some of those guys were 40, 41 years old. So... every year, it's going to get that much more difficult for Tiger to win exponentially. So,
right. Oh, for sure. So it does get harder. Plus, the talent's getting better.
I think the window really is this next probably 3 to 4 years.
3 to 4 years. I agree with you. I agree with you real quick.
You can look at Phil Mickelson. He, won a major championship, the British Open. I think he was 43 at the
time. I don't think he's won since then. Yeah.
No,
he hasn't won since.
In 2013. So... there's certainly a case to be made for Tiger to do that, be it a British Open, be it a Masters. But Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. This is why we watch.
Yeah, he's a low percentage, right?
So I'm gonna quote. I'm with the percentage.
I'm gonna quote Tin Cup. He's a low percentage guy. You know, like look at him. Like, you know, he's got Monster Energy drink on his bag. You know,
but I tell you, it was good to see Justin Thomas win again. I know there's some
absolutely
hatred out there for Justin Thomas. He dropped an F bomb when he made the final putt. I personally do not have a problem with that, and I'll tell you why. I play a lot of golf, as you guys play a lot of golf. It's a pressure cooker out there. To win on the PGA Tour, I don't know that the average person, and I know that I'm the average person, but I feel like I at least understand how hard it is to win out there. It's difficult. To get out there on that golf course, the way he grinded for 4 days, he played 73 holes of golf. And so on the final hole, when he finally makes that putt, he lets out an F-bomb. I feel like that there's tons of guys, they don't even win their club championship. They beat their buddy for five bones and they make a putt and they yell out the F-bomb. I understand more is expected of him. He who is given more is expected of. I get that. But I just don't have a problem with it. I see it as society has changed. In many ways, we are way too sensitive. The guy said the F-bomb. If they don't replay it three times on CBS, I don't even know that anybody even knows it happened.
Right.
So I think JT gets a pass. What about you, Wacker?
You know, look, he apologized for it afterward in his press conference. He was asked about it. I think we move on. Like, it's one of those things you certainly don't want to see guys do, I think. You know, golf likes to trot out this image of being different in that way, respectful, et cetera, polite. And that's great. And you know, these things happen. Is it the end of the world? No. Should he have said it? Probably not. Let's just move on. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I don't think, you know, look, if a guy was saying it every week and,
right,
you know, it would be an issue, and that doesn't absolve Justin in that case. But, look, it's a heat-of-the-moment situation. It was a difficult golf course, a long week. This is a guy who has – huge expectations for himself this year. I asked him after the tournament, I said, look, do you feel like you're playing better right now than you were a year ago or last year?
Yeah, because if you remember last year,
five times, right, and was player of the year. And he said, matter of fact, like, yeah, I do. And he is expecting, you know, I think, to have a year as good, if not better, than he did a year ago. And right now, signs are pointing toward that. This guy is number three in the world and trending toward number one in the world.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's what I was getting ready. I raised my hand ready to go with this. There's got to be something wrong with the rankings when somebody who has won, and I know DJ has won a lot as well in the last, you know, what is it, the two-year cycle or whatever, but
right,
come on. Justin Thomas, but in the last eight months, I mean, from Hawaii to Hawaii and throwing this.
But Justin Thomas is not better than Dustin Johnson.
Well, he might be playing better than him right now.
Right now. Yeah.
Look, we'll be here.
But you got to look at their body of work.
We'll be here all day. But
I'm looking at Justin Thomas's body of work, and he's got a PGA championship in there in the last year, which DJ did not win a major. It's a what have you done for me lately sport,
it is,
obviously.
It is.
And JT has done way more for me lately, right, when it comes to who is the best player in the world. The difference is he does hit it just as long as those guys and everything. He doesn't have the presence that Dustin Johnson has. Even, you know, obviously nobody has the presence that Tiger Woods when he's at his best.
Which,
when
speaking of Justin and Tiger, my favorite story of the week is that Justin Thomas has become accustomed to, when he's in contention, getting a text night before from Tiger Woods that says, hey, good luck, play well tomorrow. So
maybe
he was in contention,
two,
right? He was in contention on Saturday night going into Sunday. He was within a shot of the lead. He said he got no text from Tiger.
He got crickets.
Yeah, you mean to tell you why?
He got crickets.
Because Tiger's playing again. He thought he was in contention, and Tiger Woods doesn't give a shit if you win now because he wants to win.
It's winning time.
And that's why I respect it even more. Yep. And Justin Thomas isn't mad about it. He gets it. And I bet you Justin Thomas loves that he's finally going to have a chance to compete against a guy that he grew up with posters on his wall and is the reason he plays this sport. He gets to walk the fairways and compete against that guy.
And look, as far as the comparison of Dustin versus Justin right now, look, I'd say consistency, Dustin has really been remarkable in that way. This is a guy that doesn't miss many cuts.
No.
Justin, probably missed a bit more cuts over the last couple of years, so that certainly plays into the factor. But you're right. Look, Justin is certainly trending that direction. He can move. He actually has. He needs some things to happen, but he can actually move to number one in the world this week after Mexico.
Okay,
just
there
needs,
you go.
Needs some things to happen with John Rahm and Dustin Johnson. So that probably won't happen. But look, this guy is clearly got that it factor in his game. He hits it a mile. He's a tremendous iron player. His short game is very good. His putting has improved dramatically in the past year or so. This is a guy who appears to be in the midst of one of these runs that we've seen from a Rory or a Jason Day or Dustin Johnson, where they get on a run for a year, 2 years, maybe even three years, and Justin appears to be that guy right now in the middle of that run.
The problem is the wrench in this run might be Tiger Woods.
That's true.
He could be the wrench in the run. So a lot of the story this week was the greens as well, that the greens were really crusty. I heard many terms used to the greens.
Ridge structure.
Crusty. That was a Tiger. I thought it was root, but it was ridge. It was ridge structure. They were crusty. They were bumpy. They were dead. They were sandy.
Puff of smoke. I like the puff of smoke one.
I did notice that every time a ball landed, like yesterday, if you noticed into 18, Tiger hit that wedge. Tiger's always been able to spin wedges. I mean, he's had no problems. That ball hit, landed, bounced, and rolled out. Were the greens dead? I know you're there all the time, Brian Goff. I know you played it. Are the greens dead? Were they just thin? Were they sandy? What was wrong with the greens? Because let's be honest, this is the week that they're supposed to be at their best.
Yeah, they're sandy and they're brown, and they actually painted them. I mean, like, they painted them. And when we played, I played it a couple times before the tournament, and went out. Technically, I played it maybe three times because I went out and just played the bear trap by itself, like twice, and play a few holes, go play the bear trap, and whole thing is, I thought that the greens were the way they were because they were getting ready for the tournament. And then when I started watching the tournament and I got out there and I'm walking on the putting green and everything like that, they were the same.
They just said they were not rolling well.
And they don't. It's hard to make putts there. And I think that might be, for me, why I struggled so much when I played, because I didn't make any putts. The ball striking is ball striking, but you obviously got to get the ball in the hole.
Yeah, it was disappointing to see people. Ricky. I missed the cut as well, too.
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, he just had a rough Friday.
You know, our conversation, when was it? Were we talk on Monday?
Yeah, so let's be honest. We proved that we don't know shit.
Two of us did.
Well, you also said Tiger was going to miss the cut, so don't try and exonerate yourself over there.
Well, hold on. And we all said Ricky would do well.
You did agree with us that Ricky would do well. He would play near the top. He would be there at the end. He was there at the end.
He was there.
He was there to shake Justin Thomas' hand because they're boys. So maybe that's what we meant. But the Tiger didn't meet.
That's got to be goading on Ricky, I would imagine, at some point. I mean, look, he loves – he's a terrific guy. The amount of support he shows and just the way he treats people is right up there.
Right.
But I got to think it's got to burn him to constantly be showing up at the green to congratulate somebody else as opposed to him. These congratulations.
Yeah, you would definitely think so.
At least this time around, it made sense. From all angles, it made sense. Take away that they're friends. Ricky lives here.
Sure.
And?
Defending champ.
He's the defending champ.
And I tell you also is
so
that.
So that's it.
What sticks out to me is that.
Can we just go back to who predicted would win the tournament? Can we?
Okay. Real quick. So we all said Tiger Woods is going to miss the cut. I said Sergio Garcia was going to win, and God, he kind of bombed a little bit. There was a time where I'm like, oh, all right, he's hanging around there.
Who was your prediction?
And then he went bad.
I agreed on Sergio.
I agreed on Sergio.
What? I thought you agreed on JT.
Oh, no, I did, actually.
Yeah, let's go
back.
You guys are good.
I think we did. I think we said Justin Thomas.
He rode my coattails.
You said Justin Thomas, and he goes, damn it.
I had it written down on a sheet of paper right here in front of me. And when you said Justin Thomas, I said, damn it.
Yeah.
Because I knew that that was who I thought, and I didn't have a guy. But you also mentioned Russell Henley, which after Thursday, he was playing pretty well after Thursday.
It didn't work out so well.
It'll happen.
But what strikes me as different is when you play a golf course and there's that stretch that you know is tough, it's always in your mind. To watch Tiger get to the bear trap all 4 days, not once, not twice, all 4 days, he struggled in the bear trap. The truth of the matter is, it's really no different than hitting a normal green, but it's in your head. it gets in their head too. There's something about the bear trap that gets in your mind.
I'll tell you what gets in their mind is they're hard damn holes is what they are. Got wind. You've got greens that are very firm.
And Tiger didn't play it safe. Like on Friday, he didn't try to hit a cut in there and just lay up and miss it left and didn't get on and make bogey.
It's a hard golf shot.
He tried to hit a draw in there and it just landed short.
And look, Justin Thomas, I wrote this on Sunday night for golfdigest.com. Look, he didn't make a bogey there this weekend stretch.
He got a lucky bounce at one point yesterday. He hit a ball off the rocks and it bounced up next to the hole.
Well, that was on the fifth hole. But yeah. But on 15 through 17, didn't make a bogey there on the weekend. Made two birdies there on Saturday.
That's strong.
And played an even par on Sunday.
That's strong.
How good
is
strong.
That? That's why he won.
It makes me feel good when I see them. And this is a real thing. It makes me feel good in a sense when they, I like to think I'm a good player. So when I go out and play those holes, I go, man, they are that much better than all of us. You know, because they got irons in their hand and like, they are that much better. And they are. But
and then
I'm
Rory
going,
goes up makes a quad yesterday.
And I go, you know what? I don't play that much different than they do. Those holes are really hard. And because of that, I'm thinking, you got a ball retriever, right, Froggy? You do. I got two Tiger balls to go get, man.
I do, right in right.
I got to go get
right
those.
Right in 15. I'm sure somebody's already been in the water after those things.
I don't know, man. There's a scuba guy that comes through, actually, at PGA National. He goes to all the courses.
Yeah.
If I see him, I'm going to be like, yo, here's $20,
$20
man.
Bucks. Just, I'll pay you for those two Tiger
go
balls.
Go get those balls.
So, you know, also I want to mention real quick, a guy that we follow on Twitter who I'm a big fan of, at TW Spot. He's a big Tiger tracker guy. He goes out and this was his first tournament, seeing Tiger live. He really was shocked. I think to see it in person is always a different feel than just watching it on TV. Mm-hmm. So if you're a Tiger fanatic, like myself and like Brian Golf and not so much Brian Wacker, but if you're a Tiger fanatic and you love Tiger, a good follow on Twitter during tournaments – and really anything Tiger news, it's on Twitter. It's at TW Spot, and a very good follow. I learned about it from you.
Yeah, Instagram too.
Yeah,
Instagram's obviously very visual. You get a lot of updates and such on Twitter.
Oh, but he's always posting pictures of the goat, and they're really good pictures they're really good pictures.
It was cool. I met him. I met him. I think Tuesday or Wednesday. What it was, we never could connect because I was busy, kind of in and out of work and all of that.
Okay.
So
I'm going to tell you, I tried to meet him, and so anybody who's actually been to an event. See the crowds, you're going to understand how crazy this is. So I'm direct messaging with him on Saturday. I'm direct messaging and trying to figure out exactly where he is just because I didn't want to meet him. So this is what he tells me. Ready? He says, I'm out there. He says, okay, I'm wearing a black TW hat, a gray shirt with a red stripe down, and black shorts.
Well, that'll narrow it down.
Yeah, you and everybody else.
There was like seven black dudes dressed like Tiger Woods yesterday that I could have sworn in the crowd were Tiger Woods.
Right. So
I was like, man.
I show up on Saturday. I couldn't find him on Friday. I show up on Saturday. Here's where this was Saturday's attire. He says, I'm on one fairway. I have on all black with a red hat and a water bottle in my hand. Yeah, that's going to narrow it down. I couldn't find him on Saturday either.
He's Canadian, all right? He's so innocent. You can tell. He's naive and innocent. That's Canadians.
This was his first time following Tiger. He enjoyed it. He had a great time. I know he's headed home, but I wanted to give him just a quick mention. And if you enjoy Tiger and you can't be in front of PGA Tour Live or you can't be in front of a TV, it's a great follow during the round. And it's from a fan's perspective. I mean, he gets jacked up when Tiger's, throwing darts in there and getting them close. It's a great perspective. And then after the rounds, I always, always, always after the round, one of the first things I do is go on Twitter and look for Wacker's article because I know you're going to write something on Tiger. And even though I give you a hard time and I break your balls about that you're not in love with Tiger like we are, your articles are always very fair and always very informative because you're always right there at the press conference and hearing some things that he says and able to decode and hear some things that probably don't get on TV and hear some things that he's not saying to other people.
Yeah, and you can get that at Brian Wacker 1 on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah, Brian Wacker 1 Twitter and Instagram and also on, Golf Digest. There's always good articles on Golf Digest. That's where I learned yesterday about Justin Thomas telling the fan, get out. I saw that on.
I thought was awesome because I was going back and listening to it again as they were replaying it, and then I replayed it. He said the guy in the Seminole hat, and I don't know if he said Seminole's hat or Seminole hat, as in FSU as in the golf course. Either way, I think it's hilarious because you're obviously a Gator.
Yeah, this Gator wants to believe he threw a Seminole fan out of the golf course. Yeah.
I just want to believe that JT, being from down here, obviously he's going to probably play in the the first real major of the year, which is the Seminole Pro Member.
Yeah. Right.
It's going on a week
as
from
we
Monday.
Speak.
Yeah. Oh, is it today?
No, it's today. It's going on right now.
Oh, I thought it was that. Yeah.
No,
it was
it's right now. And just breaking right now, actually coming over my Apple Watch, Bleacher Report, Tiger moves up in the rankings. Woods has jumped 155 spots from number 544 to 389, his highest world ranking since 2015. That's a pretty big jump. Now, what was the lowest, in the 800s?
I don't know, but to me, it's completely inconsequential because it's basically all based on the fact that he simply hadn't played.
Right.
So it's a two-year rolling scale, and when you just haven't played, of course your rankings are going to plummet. So
right.
And consequently, when he does play, how he finishes and so forth, he's going to continue
finishing.
To climb
because finishing.
He's playing golf.
He will climb.
Right.
Yeah,
so he's making cuts.
He will climb.
Playing,
right.
And yeah, so he'll continue to climb up the rankings every week.
And my buddy Baker is on the web.com tour. So
right.
The web.com players, they're all thrown in those rankings as well. Like if you're a professional, you're thrown in those rankings. And for the longest time, I'd be like, yo, man, you're still ahead of T-Dub. I think 300 something.
Yeah, he might
that's
have
cutting
him.
It close. That's
might
cutting it close.
And, and by the way, what was the number for Tiger there?
Tiger is 389.
388?
Yeah.
Sam Burns.
Is he really?
The guy that Tiger played
so
with.
So he's one behind
Sam,
him.
Sam Burns, of course, beat Tiger, outplayed him, shot 68 to Tiger 70 on Sunday.
Right.
One of the coolest stories. From the weekend, just a little subplot,
it is.
The whole Tiger plot. Sam, a 21-year-old rookie, the guy's playing on the web.com tour, and his only experience with Tiger Woods before that was playing as him in the video game.
Mm-hmm.
So
really,
there you go.
Wow, that's cool. So this week we move on to Mexico.
Woo!
We've got the WGC Mexico.
Thankfully, I will not be moving on to Mexico.
You are not going to Mexico.
Not going to Mexico this year.
Now, there are some big guys not playing this WGC event, right?
Jason Day.
McIlroy.
McIlroy is not playing. So, yeah, you've got some guys who are not playing there. Look, logistically, where it is on the schedule, we had guys coming off the West Coast, then to Florida. Then you're going to ask them to go back to Mexico and then back to Florida. For a guy like Rory, it didn't make a lot of sense.
Right.
It's a quirky golf course.
Yeah.
There's a lot of logistics involved. Well, the tour does a great job in terms of looking after the players and even the media and making sure everyone is safe, gets to the golf course. There's no issues. You stay in a beautiful part of Mexico City. There's just a lot going on there. So it just isn't for everybody. Next year, I think what we'll see is you'll have the West Coast spill into Mexico, and then we'll come to Florida.
Smart.
So that will probably change. And that. Quite honestly, could affect who plays the Honda Classic because that will be the week after Mexico, presumably. So then that might affect the field there in a negative way. So
right, but definitely some good players in the field this week. We've got DJ back. We've got John Rahm. We got Spieth.
Yeah, no, you'll find a top field there for sure. World Golf Championship event and a lot at stake.
And Mexico is one of them courses. You know, obviously the elevation where that's going to be a big story. It's a really long golf course. Is it long and it just plays shorter? But it's a short golf course. Whatever it is.
Well, yeah, it's shorter when you take in the elevation. I remember last year standing on the range watching Dustin Johnson pump three woods 400 yards
right
down range because. Right. Which is just crazy, and you'll see players have to make some adjustments there. They figure it out pretty quickly within a day or so.
Yeah.
They're able to get their numbers dialed in pretty well. But it'll be of course a good event because it's got a really strong field, and then we'll inch closer to that countdown toward that first weekend in April.
Right. So we've got we got WGC this week. Then next week we're at the Valspar in Tampa. Then we'll get Bay Hill, possibly another goat sighting.
Yeah.
And then the Shell. And then we, like you just said, we will be upon our year's first major. Big week coming up on the podcast as well. We've got Brendel Chambly coming up later this week. We'll talk Tiger. We'll talk rolling the golf ball back. That seems to be all the new talk. I know Jack Nicklaus is all for moving the golf ball back. And we're also going to talk to the beautiful Holly Saunders. She's going to come on and talk golf. And talk about
can't wait.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, what are we even talking to Holly Saunders about?
College football, college basketball, all kinds of good stuff going on. Anything sports related. So we'll see you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in. It's the Playing Through Podcast. Oh!
I think you've had enough.
Playing through.
No? Now you've had enough.
With Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Bitch.